What's going on in a congregation where ministries lack leadership that keeps them vital and effective? How can spiritual leaders grow and empower servant leaders who empower people to minister effectively in their area of giftedness? Today we define the Ephesians 4 gift of the teacher and its impact on empowering servant leaders in Christ's body. Join us for this and more today on the Five Gifts Podcast. You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast.
Well, hey, welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. It is July 1st. We're halfway through. It's a midway point of 2024, if you can believe that. And so what a great time to reset and refresh and have a new resolve to finish strong on the second half of the year. And that's what we're here to do on the podcast today. Every episode is to come alongside you pastors and leaders, provide refreshing, strengthening. And so today is no different than past episodes. We're glad you're here. Bruce, glad you're here. Did you have a good weekend?
I did. I'm excited to be part of the podcast today. I'm excited to hear about what I know, a gift that I feel like I've had, you know, in my life as a teacher. And so I look forward to talking about this, but yeah, I cannot believe it's July. We have July 4th, you know, coming this week, and it's just going to be, man, a whirlwind month for us. We've got a missions trip. I've got graduation at the end of the month. We've just got so much going on, both in life and family and church, and so I'm, you know, I can't believe we're already here. At the same time, I'm pretty excited about being here. So today is, again, we're talking about the gift of the teacher. We've always framed our podcast around the five gifts, and we're committed to the five gifts. Jesus gave us the five gifts, and we don't want to take away from those gifts in the body of Christ today. We are continuous, Charles and I, and our beliefs. So, you know, that's the way we think about life and ministry. You know, we don't try to argue that with others that may disagree. But at the same time, we move forward in what we believe firmly believe about what the Bible teaches us about the gifts of the Spirit. And in relation to the church, you can't separate the five gifts, especially in leadership of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. You can't separate that from what Christ is doing in his church. And so we spend time on that because we believe it's important. It's important to know how the Holy Spirit equips leaders in the local church. Again, we're not in the titles. We are into the activity of Jesus, and that activity is going to be apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, pastoral, and definitely teaching. So as we look at the gift of the teacher today, it's important to go back to Ephesians 4 and remember that these are gifts that Jesus gives the body of Christ. In his resurrection and the giving of the Holy Spirit, these are part of the outpouring of empowered leadership for the church and the formation of the church and the continuing ministry of the church. And so we've talked quite a bit about the apostolic, prophetic, and pastoral so far in our podcast lifespan. But Charles, we're on to the teacher today. Any thoughts about the teacher before we start looking at some definitions?
Well, the teacher is critically important. It is a gift that Christ gives his church to form the church. And we're going to talk about the important need for the teacher. So I'm just excited. Everybody buckle up, get ready. We're going to talk about the gift of the teacher today and how I believe if this gift is in operation and is strong in the church, there are undeniable proofs and evidences that God is at work in his church. If God is transforming his church through the teacher gift, it's strong and actively working.
If you want to begin to understand what the teaching gift is today, I think we have to go back to the way it was intended in You know, language is really important. Language helps us define not only what things mean, but kind of understanding the history of how those words developed. And so, you know, Ephesians, the gift of the teacher, the word that Paul would have used in Greek, and he did use it, it's written in the Greek New Testament, is didaskalos. And it, you may have heard of the Didache, which is considered the teaching of the apostles. Basically, the word Didache, well, didaskalos means teacher. And, you know, because that was a Greek word, we have to understand Greek literature. Greek literature used it to define the instructor or the schoolmaster. It even had some specific references in the arts, like the choir master or the poet. But basically, it became a term to define someone that helped another person develop skills or aptitudes. Now, if we connect that into the ministry of Jesus, I think it's really important to understand that because he was considered the teacher. In fact, one of the most common titles for Jesus was teacher, rabbi. Rabbi and teacher, not the same word, but they have a lot of the same, share a lot of the same definitions. Jesus was many times called the didaskalos, the teacher. And in fact, I think that word in some form appears about 60 times in the New Testament, and about almost 50 of those are in reference to Jesus specifically. And so it makes sense that when Jesus is giving himself to his church and leadership and that those anointings, that one of those would be a gift of teaching. And what does the teacher do? Develops someone's skills or aptitudes in the life of Christ, helping someone grow in living more like Jesus, looking more like Jesus, doing the things that Jesus did. That's ministry. That's a life lived, you know, in the power of the Spirit. So, you know, as we look at that and moving into what maybe Ephesians talks about, you could say that the gift of teaching is in the body of Christ to help people grow in their skills or their aptitudes. But, you know, there's some ways that the teaching was applied. I don't mean the way it was defined, but the way, how did the early church apply that? And so one of the common expressions often associated with teaching was to define it like in the role of a parent and a child. In fact, that's the word for training in the New Testament. You see it a lot of times in that context of father to son, mother to daughter. You see, Paul uses it quite often in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. But the idea of training, that need for supportive relationship. Discipleship is more than just, you know, a classroom where someone's learning. It actually involves that emotional support, that I'm with you in this kind of support. And that featured pretty prominently in the New Testament, that concept of training, edifying, nurturing. And so that particular Greek word paideon is used to, like in 2 Timothy 3:16, the potential of the scriptures for training someone in righteousness. But that training is not just, you know, sitting them in a chair in a classroom and filling them up with information. It was that parenting kind of a training, the way a parent teaches a child, is there for a child, walks the child through their stages of growth, that guiding, upbringing, instructing, teaching, all that together, but in a very, very supportive relationship. And, you know, Paul will attach the actions of a mother, the nurturing, the caring, the encouraging. He uses those activities of a father who charges and encourages and challenges and defines for a child. So we see, you know, that's important in teaching. It's not simply downloading information into someone. It really is patterning, showing, encouraging, and supporting them in that growth. So, you know, we come to Ephesians 4, and that gift of teaching has, you know, a much bigger context for us. So, Charles, why don't you take us through Ephesians? How should we look at the gift of teacher in the local church today?
Well, I think you got us going in the right direction. One statement that you made that we're not talking about titles. What we're interested in, especially on this podcast, is the function of the gifts. And so how does the gift function in the local church? Well, the teacher gift again, as we said, it's critical. It's paramount to the church being formed, to the ministry of Christ being released, because this teacher gift, the Holy Spirit gives the ability to equip and empower the people of God. So I think we'll be the first ones to say that you know, it's not because our gifts and abilities are so great or we're so talented. This is an enabling, this is an empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Christ gives the gifts, and the Holy Spirit gives the ability, the enablement. He empowers us to equip and empower the people of God. This is the Holy Spirit working through Christ's gifts. And so how does that happen? What does that look like? I think there's a few ways that we can talk about here for a moment. The Holy Spirit works through the teacher gift in several ways. Number one, through identifying and recruiting. So who are we going to identify? Who are we recruiting? And that would be those in the church who we sense are called disciples and workers. So these are people who've come to their relationship and their journey with the Lord. They sense a calling to go deeper, to go further. Be that in discipleship, growth and maturity, or serving in ministry, and that's a big step. That's a big step for people. But that's one way the Holy Spirit works through this gift. So pastor, leaders, again, in whatever context of the church that you're serving, the Holy Spirit works through this teacher gift to identify, recruit, called disciples and workers. Another avenue would be through gathering the call for discipleship. So it's one thing to identify and recruit, but there's another aspect of that is now we begin to gather the call. We begin to not just invite them, but we begin to actively bring them into a setting or bring them together. We did 2 weeks on small groups. We talked a lot about knitting the church into a spiritual community. And so the Holy Spirit works through the teacher gift, gives us the ability to gather the called. And as we gather them, we're forming them together. We're knitting them together. There could be some organizational elements to this part of the enablement, but a second working or enablement of the Spirit is through the teacher gift is gathering the called for discipleship. Number three would be or a third enablement or working of the Holy Spirit would be equipping, and we equip by nurturing God's people for service. So we've identified them, now we've gathered them. And so now we must begin through the empowerment, through the enabling of the Holy Spirit, and this through this teacher gift, we begin to equip the called. We begin to equip these ministers, and we begin to nurture God's people for service. And so the word nurture really brings to mind for me the idea, a lot of care, a lot of patience, you know, a lot of people have gardens, you know, this time of year. And so there's a lot of hands in the dirt, weeding, cultivating. That's the idea here. And so the Holy Spirit, through the teacher gift, equips. And through this equipping, God's people are nurtured for service. And then I think a final one we could mention today on the episode is a fourth enablement or a fourth working through the teacher gift is the Holy Spirit empowers disciples for ministry. we're card carrying Pentecostals, Bruce, and so we don't hide that and not embarrassed about that. So we believe in this, in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we kind of put our banner in the Acts 2 dunamis kind of power and that dynamite power, you know. And the Holy Spirit empowers us. He gives us power for ministry. And so through the teacher gift, the Holy Spirit enables disciples for ministry. There's a power that is released into these disciples, into these new ministers. And so there's a short kind of a definition or a snapshot of this teacher gift, what that looks like in the church, how it can function in the church. And Bruce, any thoughts on that, on the function or the enablements, the working of the Holy Spirit through the gift?
Well, I know I was going to sound like a broken record, but you know, there's a takeaway I'm having from our time spending talking about the gifts. And I think I already knew this, but it just seems like every week, Charles, we keep coming back to there's more involved than just the teaching. There's more than just standing in front of people and doing things. There's a relational component in all of the gifts. And I think teaching is, you know, we've come off the pastor quadrant, that pastoral anointing in the church that builds community, and it provides care. It releases that in the body. And so the pastoral role is seen by nature as highly relational, but all the gifts have a relational quality to them. And when I think of the gift of the teacher, you know, I had a teacher in 11th grade English, and she lit a fire in me for literature. She really did. And it you know, I'd had maybe a slight bent toward that in 9th grade, 10th grade. I just remember the teachers, I just didn't have much connection. They were good teachers. I just didn't have much of an interest. They didn't seem to bring that out of me. I thought, you know, the other people in the class seemed to be more equipped for literature. But that 11th grade teacher, because she made a point to get to know me and value observations that I shared. She nurtured that in me. And I just think the gift of teaching, in a lot of ways, is as much relationship as it is instruction. And mm-hmm. So I'm, you know, I want to hear you talking about that, Charles, the nurturing, your hands in the dirt. That's working with people. That's kneading and not kneading N-E-E-D, but the K-N-E-A-D, like someone would, you know, knead the dirt or knead the dough for the bread. There's mm-hmm. there's a hands-on approach there that I think is really important to remember when you're involved in not just the ministry of teaching, but the gift of the empowering others through the gift of teaching.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's critical that this gift is in operation in our churches. And I think as we look across kind of the scope of churches in the United States, there's a big deficiency of this gift operating in a strong way. And again, I think most churches would say, well, we have the teaching gift. I mean, we have people that stand up and they teach a class, or they give the information, and boy, it's so much more than that. As you pointed out, the relational components of this gift. And so we have to realize that if all we're doing is standing and giving information, then this gift is weak in the church. And so our desire is to highlight the gift and say, let's take it from a weak place, and let's allow the Holy Spirit now, through His enablement, through His working, to strengthen the gift, to highlight the gift within the local church. Because what happens when the gift is not strong in its expression, is this is usually the result, is it'll be that there'll be immature and weak leaders in the church with no spiritual power, and as a result, they're not able to equip or release empowered ministers into the body. And so so immature. We produce who we are. We can't offer what's not already within us. And so if there are immature and weak leaders who do not have spiritual power, then the cycle will just continue. They're not able to equip or release empowered ministers into the body. And we want to stop that. We want to break that cycle and say, yes, there is the opportunity. There is the possibility to have strong, empowered leaders who are filled with the Spirit of God, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who are filled with the power of God, who in turn, through the teaching gift, can begin to equip and release empowered ministers into this body. So now where a weakness has been the norm, now all of a sudden a weakness can be turned into a strength that brings vitality, that brings energy and releases the life and ministry of Christ in the body and through the body to the community. So that's why we're doing this. The entire podcast, but this episode on teaching is we want to see that cycle broken, where we move from immaturity into maturity. And that's really, when we're talking about the teaching gift, that's what the teaching gift brings. It brings maturity. It transitions us from a place of weakness into a place of strength. And it helps our leaders and volunteers to move from a place of doubt and uncertainty to a place of confidence, to being able to minister from a posture of confidence, because we are we're not ministering and we're not serving from our own strength and ability, but through the enablements and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we're released to minister in the body and into the community. So again, that's what that kind of that divine urgency or the great need of the teaching gift. And so, Bruce, how about, we've talked about, or we've used the word enablements quite a bit. What are some enablements in the teaching gift that helps this gift to operate?
Well, you know, you think of the teaching, the anointing for teaching. We're not talking about some mystical impartation that you walk around and claim on your business card or your vanity plate. You know, the enabling is the work of the ministry. It is the Spirit working through us to build up the body. And so if we could say, you know, let's take the anointing for teaching. Absolutely, teaching is a communication gift. It's an ability to communicate, and I'm all for. I don't want anyone to miss what we're saying. To teach is to impart information in a compelling way, but also an upbuilding way. And I think that it's important to remember that there is that anointing to communicate and communicate well, to impart truth and to teach it in such a way where it is not only retained, but it begins to take shape in a person's life. You know, Jesus said, when a student is fully trained, this is, I think Luke 6:40, when a student is fully trained to be like his teacher. So teaching has the ability, the enablement to reproduce itself. And so with that, there is that ability to communicate it powerfully. I was in a preaching seminar on Saturday, and our new district superintendent, David Crabtree, taught it. And he's a phenomenal orator. He is a skilled preacher. Mm-hmm. But the communication skills of preaching, are a lot of those are shared in teaching. And so, you know, just I think anointing brings passion. And so that passion in wanting to communicate and communicate well, it's there. And that's all part of the teaching gift and the relating that we've talked about. But I think there's some specific things that teaching enablement does. And I'd say the first is it identifies and recruits believers into discipleship. It brings people from who have made a decision for Jesus, or, you know, I would say discipleship even before they've become a follower of Jesus. There's something compelling about what you're inviting them into. And so the teacher is identifying, they're recruiting, they've got their eye on people that they see a potential in them that maybe they don't see themselves. Charles, I liken it to Jesus seeing Nathaniel beneath the tree and going to him and being used in a prophetic word, a word of knowledge. I saw you beneath the tree. There is that compelling nature, I think, of saying, I see more happening with your life. Step into this process where you can become more than you've been. I see the potential for you to become what God intended for your life, that you be conformed to the image of Christ. And so being able to identify and recruit believers into a discipleship process. Now, we can talk about process all day long, but there has to be a pathway into that process. And I think the teacher is like the embodiment of that pathway. They're recruiting, they're in bringing people into that. And, that ties in what I think another enablement of the teacher. They develop those growth pathways for servant leaders, for workers, for volunteers, but all in all, they're disciples. They're learning to grow in an area of ministry. And the teacher is someone who is helping develop those pathways. And that pathway can look like so many different things in the local church, because there's so many different needs that the local church has and that they want to be capable in reaching their communities, different cultural needs. So, you know, as I think about that, I'm thinking, because we have some leadership needs in our church, we're having to reassess and build a new infrastructure of both leaders and workers. And so I'm thinking, okay, what is the growth process? How do I bring someone who maybe has been serving in an area of ministry and begin to work with them to become a leader in that area of ministry? And so developing that pathway is important. It takes some strategic thinking, it takes some honest assessment, but building that pathway. I'd also say, you know, another part of the teacher enablement is strengthening the commitment to God's word. If we think of someone growing as a disciple, well, we know that one of the expressions of that is they're growing in ministry. They're not just modeling Jesus's character and life. They're doing what Jesus did. He's working through them to touch and minister and release his life to others. At the same time, there is a powerful transformation that should be happening in the lives of people. And so part of that is strengthening their commitment to God's word. And I think of how important it is to be a teacher. You're not just out there to get a following. You're out there to bring those followers into Christ, into his life. And so when you passionately teach the word, when you passionately talk about the word, when you prepare for it, when you're doing what's necessary to present it and present it well, I think that's a powerful way of helping strengthen the commitment of others to his word. And then lastly, I would say, well, maybe not lastly, but certainly part of that enabling is empowering disciples and teams. You're bringing people together into cohesion, and they're working together. And there's a kind of a compounding effect where the more that you work with individuals, the more that you're building up those teams. And so that teacher gift is very, very capable of raising up not only the individual disciple, but empowering them in the teams that they're working with. And so this will lead to the last point. Remember that teaching disciples is multi-generational. The promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is sons and daughters, but it's also men servants and maid servants. It's also on, you know, as much as it is for young men, it's for old men too. So there has to be a focus on bringing discipleship as a way, a means of helping people mature in all age groups. And there's no junior Holy Spirit. There's just the Holy Spirit, and they had the activity of God. I think it's important that we teach our children how to grow in Christ and lay those foundations in them, as much as we maintain a focus on helping, you know, our middle adults, our senior adults, helping them grow, helping young parents grow, helping young singles grow. You know, all of that falls to the purview of the teacher gift. Hmm. Charles, what are your thoughts on that?
No, those are some powerful statements you're making. And as you're talking, I'm thinking about, you know, I like the word pathways and into the process. Now, I'm going back to some of our episodes we did on developing leaders. And in those, we talked about the leadership railroad. And so I'm hearing you talk about these enablements and developing and growing. And I'm just thinking, wow, what a wonderful pairing that could be as we're developing disciples who are growing in their faith, but who are also, they're going to begin to minister now. And so I think that could be a great vehicle. The leadership railroad is not just a leadership tool, but it can be a great discipleship tool. If we go back, you know, there was that, the bedrock was the character or the spiritual formation. You've got one rail is new information, new knowledge, new skills. The second rail is the new experience, new ministry experience. And then that the cross ties that hold it all together, that dynamic reflection with a mentor, I think just fits in beautifully with what we're talking about. In the exercise of the teaching gift as well. And I think it just lends itself to, you know, you talked about kind of reassessing some leadership or some volunteer areas in the church. And I think that just lends itself so well to being able to being the mentor and being able to say to those we're having reflection with, wow, you've done so well in this area of ministry or service. Why don't we allow you now to take on, or for example, you've done so well in working as a greeter in the church, helping welcome in new people. We have need for someone to lead the assimilation system in the church. Do you think for the next 3 months, you could step into that role, and we'll have some weekly check-ins to just kind of reflect and where we're giving people that opportunity to learn new skills, to learn, have new experiences, and to continue having that dynamic reflection. Anyway, I don't want to start talking in circles any more than I already am, but I just think that leadership railroad fits nicely in this teaching gift, as the teacher now is developing and maturing disciples and raising up new ministers to be released in the body. So,
Charles, I think that brings up
you asked the question. That probably wasn't what you were wanting, but there you have it.
No, I think, you know, bringing up the railroad model, I had that thought too, that. Mm-hmm. And I encourage our listeners to go back, and you can easily find that on YouTube. If you just go back and look at some of the early episodes we did on developing leaders. But, you know, the gift of teaching, I think it's important. You may put teaching on, you know, your profile, that you're a Sunday school teacher, you're a Bible study teacher or facilitator, but But there is so much teaching that has got to happen outside of the classroom. So teacher may involve mentoring. It may involve coaching. And what we talked about, you know, in the Leadership Railroad is that those railroad ties between someone's new experience and the new learning, you know, those are parallel things. And so if someone is growing in their knowledge and growing in their experience, they need that relational connectedness to reflect. They need someone to prod them and to say, so how was that working? Or what wasn't working? What's your objective? What's your goal? To keep that in front of them. Again, that goes back to those supportive roles that I think the New Testament talks about, you know, the concept of spiritual fathering or spiritual mothering. There is that really important aspect of supported relationship in the role of the teacher. So, Charles, we've talked so much about what that enablement looks like. What's the result? What should we see? What should we be seeing happen in the local church when the gift of the teacher is really activated?
Sure. It moves us from immaturity into maturity. And so the result is now we have, as a result of this, the Holy Spirit and his enablements working through the teacher gift in a strong expression in the church. Now we have mature, strong teachers who train and release mature leaders, disciples, and workers, and they begin to build Christ's church and the kingdom of God. So now it's not weak and immature leaders, but mature, strong teachers are training and releasing mature leaders. And so and the church really begins to lift. The church is filled with strength and vitality. The church advances, the kingdom of God advances, and when the teaching gift is functioning in the appropriate way, it brings lift, it brings strength, it brings maturity to the church, and we see that the cycle is broken. So that's the teaching gift. That is our hope, and that's our desire for every local church, is that we allow room for the teaching gift to rise from obscurity. I think sometimes we touched on that. So to move from obscurity to now, the teaching gift is in a place of prominence with all the other gifts. And so hopefully something that's been said today or implied or referred to sparks some inspiration for you to begin to really take a look at the teaching gift in the local church you serve, so that the teaching gift can move the church from immaturity into a place of strength and stamina and maturity that is building the church and advancing the kingdom of God. Any final words, thoughts, Bruce?
No, I'd just like to say for our subscribers, or if this is your first time tuning into the Five Gifts podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So please use the comment section below to share your thoughts with us and to let us know maybe some of your interests that we can take into account as we do future episodes. Again, we're here to equip spiritual leaders, servant leaders in the body of Christ. You may not be in full-time ministry. You may be serving in a different capacity in your church as a volunteer, but we are so interested in seeing how the life of Jesus can continue to elevate in your life and help you to become the servant leader that blesses your church, that helps it activate all its potential. We believe in the full kingdom potential of every local church, and we'd love to see you as a catalyst for that. So any way that we can help you, Please let us know.
Absolutely. Well, hey, thanks for joining us today on the Five Gifts podcast. Don't forget to follow, like, share, and smash that share button, subscribe button, do all those things. Just smash all the buttons. We want to help us get the message out and go on this journey with us. We thank you for your support. Thank you for your viewership and for being a part of the Five Gifts podcast. If you'd like to explore some further topics in greater depth and detail, you can reach out to Bruce at coachingcardia.com. You can reach out to me, Charles, at charlesrussellministries.com. If you have some church-related questions, or if you're outside of the church and want some tutelage, I guess you can reach me at charlesrusselltraining.com. So with that being said, we'll see you next week right here on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You've been listening to the Five Gifts Podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.